Hello and welcome to the Wilton Baptist Church. My name is Steve Harness and we are glad that you have found our website and we pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Wilton Baptist Church, where we worship God, walk with others, and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessings as you listen today. Galatians chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 13 through 18. Welcome everyone here on this church property and in different locations on this campus. Also, all of you at home, thank you for being there and following along. Give us a thumbs up. Go ahead and do that. Or a heart. You could do that as well. That'd be terrific. And we're glad you're watching and participating. Continue to pray for one another this week, and just like you normally do, keep praying for each other. It's great to see everyone here in person today. All right, so when I was in junior year, getting ready for baseball, I was a baseball pitcher on the high school team. I pitched in varsity as a freshman and a sophomore, and I was really excited going into my junior year. And we would exercise a lot before the season actually began, and we'd go to the weight room. The weight room was in the basement of the school building, you know, not too far from where the boiler was in those old school buildings. And down in the basement, we would work out for months at a time leading up to baseball season, trying to get a lot stronger. So I loved the leg press. I would leg press a lot. And then the bench press and different types of different exercises that we would do. Sometimes as a, 16-year-old probably, I would be too aggressive and lifting the weights too aggressively. And so one baseball practice before the season began, so this is before we even saw the field, we were still practicing inside, pitching inside, everything inside. They built mounds inside the gymnasium for us, so just like it was real simulation, it was really a good setup. And I was down there bench pressing, and I was too aggressive. I was doing 325. That was too much. I only weighed 180, but I was like, oh, man, look how strong I am, you know. And I'd worked up to it a little bit, but not enough. And so I put it up once and back down. I put it up again, and then I couldn't quite hold it, and the shoulder gave out. The thing crashed down onto me, and my shoulder really was hurting after that. Something got torn in that moment. The rotator cuff got torn in that moment. So I went upstairs, and, you know, tough guys, 16-year-olds are invincible, so at least they think they are for you 16-year-olds. So I went up, and I pitched 100 pitches in practice as hard as I could, as best as I could. And what ended up happening was I tore my rotator cuff. So I couldn't throw the baseball 85 miles an hour anymore. It was like 30 miles an hour, and it hurt a lot. And so that was pretty bad. But then I noticed after that, and Natalie helps me with this, and my mom at the time helped me with this too. I would walk like this. I would be out of balance. Or I'd be like this. So I never could get it right because this shoulder, I would always favor it whenever I was doing things. So if you see me like this, that's why, or like that, or however it is, it's not always straight. And it was imbalanced. And so Natalie would be like, your shoulder's crooked. Like, well, I can't even tell, you know, and trying to help me get back in balance. So if it looks like I'm out of balance up here sometimes, that's why. We can get out of balance in our lives in different areas. And even the Christian life, we can get out of balance in some areas as well. The Galatians were being led astray with a false gospel. God's grace was being attacked, and the Galatians were becoming confused with legalism. Paul says, you have liberty. The Lord tells them you have liberty in Christ, and we are free. Now, we're not free to hurt other people. We're not free to do whatever we want in the aspect of just sinning and however our flesh wants to go. But we are free to do what is right. We're free of our own volition and our own will. And we are free, get this, from the power of sin. The power that sin had over us, we're free of that power because of the grace of God. And what an amazing truth that is. Some choose to adhere to the law while replacing grace. So they add law to grace. We call that legalism. We talked about that extensively last time. And legalists demand that you live like they do, or at least how they think that you should live, and that's an imbalance. Some people will go to the other extreme, kind of like a pendulum, if you would. And here's a little weight or balance you can see. And some will say, well, liberty, liberty. And then they'll use liberty to become a license to sin. You see, liberty should not be a license to do whatever you want to do, whatever your flesh says. That would be an imbalance. So let's read the passage here, and then we'll show you what love can do with all of this. Verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a real key verse in this chapter. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Legalism is an imbalance, and license is an imbalance, license to sin. So here's what love does. Love balances out the Christian life. It takes the law and it takes liberty, and it doesn't cause a license to sin, nor does it create a list for us to follow, but it says you would choose the right thing to do if you had love for God and love for others. Jesus said, love for God and love for others fulfills all the law. It fulfills all of that. So legalism is imbalanced, and license is imbalanced as well. There's a term called antinomianism. Antinomianism means free grace. Can you say free grace with me? Free grace. Try it again. Free grace. I'll try this one. Antinomianism. Antinomianism. If you mess it up, it's all right. It's just a long word. Anti means against. Nomo. Nomo is law, so against the law. And, of course, grace is free to us, but it was costly. You know, Jesus paid the price for our salvation on the cross, freely giving his life. But free grace is an imbalance. It is a license, if you would. Antinomianism is generally based on two ideas. The first would be an erroneous conclusion that the free grace of God relieves believers from any moral obligation. So if you ever hear anyone talk about free grace or antinomianism, they believe that they have no moral obligation in life. There's no morals. There's no morals because, well, you know, we have grace. We can do whatever we want to do. A second assumption is that matter, stuff, things that we're made of, matter is inherently evil. Therefore, bodily behavior should not be restrained by moral laws. Well, you're corrupt anyway, so don't even try. That's antinomianism. So don't even try to do what is right. Don't even have that as a goal or think about it at all. That's antinomianism. That's free grace. That's what Paul is talking about when he uses the term here about license. People take it too far, and he lists these things in the flesh. We'll read in just a moment. Jude says in verse 4, only one chapter, so Jude 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So as I was studying this week, I read this verse, lasciviousness, and in fact it's in chapter 5, verse 19 as well. We'll read it in just a moment. Lasciviousness, and this term means lewdness, fleshly, carnal. It's a lustful, sinful mentality resulting in behavior. So lasciviousness. Now, I'm not even going to have you repeat that one. I can't say it right either. That's a hard one. So as I was studying this, I recognized something that's happening in our society. Now, I've emailed you about it, you saw it in the media, and we put it out on Facebook, different things about this Equality Act. The Equality Act is actually summarized with this word, lasciviousness. It's really an embracing of whatever your flesh wants to do, do it. Anything goes. And that's a problem, because Jesus did not liberate us so that we could hurt ourselves with sinning against ourselves or doing things that's bad for our body, bad for our mind. Here's just a summary. I took this straight from the House Resolution 5. Their webpage has, I think it's a summary, because they usually write laws with a lot more pages, but here's the summary they had on the front page. This bill prohibits discrimination based on sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity in a wide variety of areas, including public accommodations and facilities, education, federal funding, employment, housing, credit, the jury system. Specifically, the bill defines and includes sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity among the prohibited categories of discrimination or segregation. The bill expands the definition of public accommodations to include places or establishments that provide exhibitions, recreation, exercise, amusements, gatherings — we qualify as a gathering — or displays, goods, services, or programs, and transportation services. The bill allows the Department of Justice to intervene in equal protection actions in federal courts on account of sexual orientation or gender identity. Protections against discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or national origin shall include protections against discrimination based on an association with another person who is a member of a protected class — it means you're a friend with somebody that would fall in this category — or a perception or belief, even if inaccurate, that an individual is a member of such a protected class. The bill prohibits the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 from providing a claim, defense, or basis for challenging such protections. It's in yellow there, and it's kind of small print, but there's no religious exemptions to enforcing this new law proposal. The bill prohibits an individual from being denied access to a shared facility, including a restroom, a locker room, a dressing room, that is in accordance with the individual's gender identity. So, as Christians, let me be very clear, we love everybody. We love everyone. God tells us to. In fact, God loves everybody. The most evil person, God still loves them and sent his son to die on the cross for them. Is that a Bible truth or not? All right, it's true. He still loves whoever it is. They could hate God, he still loves them. That's just amazing. This bill creates a new class of people, and that's a problematic thing. And here's just some thoughts. I'll not just elaborate, I'll just read what I wrote here. All citizens are already protected under the Constitution and Bill of Rights. Equal enforcement from the executive branch, that'd be the officers who are to fulfill the legislation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, if they were already doing their job, this probably would not be a problem already, if they would just equally already fulfill the law that's already there. So we're already protected as citizens. We're not in different classes, just citizens. Liberty is not a license to sin. To harm yourself, to hurt others, or to live with excessive carnality. Early Americans found its liberty in the Bible. Did you know that? I mean, liberty is found in the Scriptures. There's a little book out there about the freedom of conscience, and this is how it was a lot of Baptists, really, early on, I'm talking 250 years ago, who had this idea of, we get to make our own choices because we personally give an account to God. And so it's a fascinating thing. That's where our liberty really comes from. So love, in the Bible, and what we're reading here, love fixes this legalism, and love fixes licentiousness and lasciviousness and this idea of liberty to have a license to do whatever I feel like I want to do. Today, love can fix all of that. Now, here's an example. If you offered a service of helping people jump off bridges, we would say that's not a good job, and that wouldn't be a good thing to do. I have a service. I'll help you jump off a bridge. We'd say that's terrible. That's not a good thing. No one should force you to help someone jump off a bridge, if that makes sense. helping people hurt themselves is not a good thing. Telling a boy he is a girl, if he wants to be, it could be considered, if you talk to traditional psychology, and if you look at just traditional type, you know, how people examine the mind and the function of the body, that I think it's really child abuse if you do that. And that used to be the definition until recently when they started to change the definition. If you would say something that's not true just to affirm someone about something that's a lie, that really could be considered child abuse until they've changed that recently. So telling a boy he's a girl if he wants to be is damaging to his mental health. Instead of affirming what is true, this bill says that people should embrace and affirm lies of other people. So if someone's taking poison, no one should force me to give them the poison. Does that make sense? No one should, hey, I want to take poison. You can take poison if you want to, but I'm not going to give you the poison. Okay, we should be free to be able to do what is right, not forced to do what is wrong. If someone's going to think the wrong way, they can think the wrong way if they want to, but I don't have to think the same way. That's freedom. That's freedom. And that's a more accurate Bible understanding of freedom. Wilton Baptist Church will not submit to affirming lies, and this bill could harm Christian ministries, including our own. Christian schools, colleges, and things could go out of business really quick if the Senate affirms this bill. And it could make for a hard time for churches just like ours and for Christians just like us. And again, I'm not saying this with hate. There's no anger in my voice. It's just, this is truth. We're speakers of truth in love. So Wilton Baptist will not affirm lies. We will speak the truth with the balance of love. So this was back in 2012, 2013. This is an old photo. This is real. This guy, he's about 6'8", 6'9", something like that. Big fella here. He's 52 years old at the time of this picture, taking hormone treatments, playing basketball on a girls' basketball team for Mission College in Santa Clara, California. He averaged about 6 points. Now, I don't know if I could average 6 points in a girls' college basketball game. I don't think I could today. It'd be pretty tough. But he averaged just under 6 points in that season. This is an example. Here's some more pictures of it. This is real. I verified it, and this really took place. So this bill is, this is a pictured example of the bill of what they're trying to do. So he did everything with the girls there, I guess, like that. So do whatever you want to do has taken on a new meaning. This is a way of reasoning, and it's spinning out of control. What if I said I'm 18 years old again, I want to go back to high school? I don't know why you want to go back to high school, but I want to play sports again. Let's go. I'm going to play sports. You know, I know more than these 18-year-olds now, so I can play baseball with them even though I can't throw and still hit the ball and everything. And, you know, that'd be fun. Let's just go back to high school and have a good time. Why not say my GPA is better? My GPA, I qualify, I really should be a NASA scientist. I mean, I feel like I am. Why not do that? This is the reasoning here. If you feel like it, just go ahead and go do that. We've been taught that for years, you know, shoot for the sky, do what you want, do what feels good. You can do anything that you want. But the fact is, I can't do everything that I want. There are physical, biological, and mental limitations to that. And that's part of being human. That's part of the beauty of humanity, that God made us all different, and that's an awesome, awesome thing. So that would be a very, very imbalanced. I think we should all be Bill Gates. Just go, let's be Bill Gates, and, you know, yeah, that's my bank account. Yeah, I feel like it. Let's just do that. That's the reasoning. It's going in as far direction like this. Folks, let me just encourage you with this thought. More laws do not create liberty, because you cannot legislate a guilty conscience. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is a guilty conscience. And we value everyone the same way, but there's differences in what I can do and what you can do and who you are. And those are beautiful things. That's the way that God made life. And so it's nothing to do with value. It's nothing to do with self-worth. More laws do not create liberty, because you cannot legislate a guilty conscience. Folks, as Christians, we do not live lawlessly. we live gracefully. We do not live lawlessly, we live gracefully. God's grace is how we should live. Proper love balances the Christian life. Now, everyone loves something. Loving self, loving the flesh, or sin, causes one to indulge the flesh. That's in verse 13. This is the last part of the phrase here, when he says, an occasion to the flesh, the idea of serving the flesh. And he says, use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. The result of the flesh is found in verse 19, 20, and 21. Here it is. Look at it in your passage if you would. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, so it's evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that's an idea of lewdness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, that's strife, just quick to fight with people, emulations, that's a form of jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So someone that continually lives like this isn't a born-again Christian. Notice then the work of the Spirit then. Loving God, walking in His Spirit, results in the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Temperance is a form of self-control. So loving self, I'll sin and do things of the flesh. Loving God causes me to walk in the Spirit. And friends, we should be embracing the Lord because of God's love and how He embraced us. The Bible tells us we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. We should also love our neighbor as ourselves. We're told not to love worldliness, and I encourage every parent, be careful of the influences of your kids, because there are a lot of influences, and even for yourself, that will pull you away from God and godly thinking and replace that with this type of worldly licentiousness and wrong living. But we are also to speak the truth in love. Christians, we do not live lawlessly, we live gracefully, and love is the proper balance. Proper love balances the Christian. So I'd like to share with you the last few moments we have, how we can have the right balance with love balancing out our Christian life. So how can I live gracefully? How can I have a balanced Christian life? Here are three areas. Verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." By love. By this love, we are serving others. So this word is agape, selfless, giving type love. One person said, you cannot love, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And so agape is a giving love. Serving others is a form of a gift, and that is, serving others is a demonstration of love. The word serve here is related to that word doulos. It's douleo, and it means a slave, to be a slave, to be a servant of somebody else. So according to this passage, we are going to have this freedom. This freedom is found in Christ by the grace of God. Then I'm free to be a servant of others. Am I free to serve the law? No. Am I free to embrace legalism? No. Am I free to have a license to do whatever my flesh wants to do, and I'll wake up one day and do this, and the next day I'll be that, and I'll just kind of change back and forth? No, that's not good. No, we're not free for that. Liberty balanced with love? Yes. Liberty is balanced with love. In other words, when I love people, I will do what is best for them. When I love somebody, I will do what is the best thing that I can do to help them, to minister to them, to serve to them. There's a woman married to a man to whom she did not love. And she would get up every morning. In fact, he demanded. He said, "I want you to wake up at 5 o'clock every day and make me breakfast, have it on the table, warm, ready to go at 6 o'clock. And I have this list of other things." And she just had this schedule, and she had this list of things to do. And he would really get on her about following this list and very exacting demands of her time and what she did. Her life was made miserable trying to satisfy the request of her husband, and finally he died. And a few years later, she married again. And one day, she was going through some of her old things. This is after her and her new husband had been married for a while. Was going through some things. She found the list. She found the list. Wake up, 5 a.m. Breakfast on the table, 6 o'clock. Do this, do this, do this. She saw the list, and she read. She kept reading. It was a long list. She read for a while, and she realized, I'm doing this for my new husband. I didn't even realize it. She was happy. She didn't even have the same discouragement that she had before and misery. She was willingly doing these things. You know what the difference was? She didn't love the first husband. She loved the new husband. And she was just doing these things out of love. It didn't feel like hard work. And it felt very demanding. The difference is love. Oh, I have to go serve these people. I have to do that. It's not serving with love. We need to have love in our service towards others. Number two, we fulfill the law with love. Verse 14 describes this. For the law is fulfilled in one word. I love this. Even in this. Here it is. Thou shalt love the Lord thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So that would be the second commandment. Paul is quoting the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Instead of picking up, throwing rocks at people, love other people. Leviticus is that passage, but Jesus affirms this as well in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Now, what's interesting here when Paul says, here it is, it's the pinnacle, that you would love your neighbor. It's all fulfilled in one word, the word fulfilled. The law is fulfilled. It has a twofold meaning in Scripture. So it's reached its climax. It's reached its end. And almost like a pun that Paul gives on this usage of this Greek word. First would be this. He means the content of the whole law is summed up. The content of Leviticus 19:18, commanding to love one's neighbor, it is all summarized in the person of Jesus. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So I believe that's true. A second application or understanding of this is that the Christian loving, a Christian who is loving, is also fulfilling by practically carrying out in real tangible ways, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus fulfills it, and we can fulfill it as we love other people. Now, the Old Testament law, let's look at it as a list of do's and don'ts. It has three categories. There's the civil law. A lot of our government's laws over the years were derived from Bible teaching from early Israel. So you get back to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you start seeing these laws that God gives. Exodus has some of this as well. So it's laws, and he sets up a society. Civil law, that's one of the laws. Second would be ceremonial or religious law, and that would be how to approach God. How do I find God's grace? This has to do with their sacrifices and how they would approach God in the tabernacle and later on in the temple, how they would pray, etc. It'd be religious type exercises and how to please the Lord. So ceremonial or religious law. The third law is moral law. And we generally think of the Ten Commandments as civil, but there's a lot of morality in those as well. So moral law. Just because a civil law says something is legal does not mean it's moral. There's a difference in these three types of laws. And I think when you read and study the Bible, you need to understand these three categories here. You can break the law doing something that's morally right in some places. So that's just something for us to comprehend and understand here today. So those are the three sets of law. Jesus fulfilled all the law. Civic, moral, how to get to God. He fulfilled all of it in himself. Now, as Christians, we come to God, we live morally, we're civics minded, all because of love. Why is it that you do what you do? Your motivation should be, I love God and I love other people. It's not a checklist of do's and don'ts. It's not that. We have something deeper and richer and more meaningful. In fact, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says this, for the grace of God, I love that, it's because of grace, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So I don't have a list of do's and don'ts, but I have love God, love other people. And if we look at our choices and decisions and how we treat other people through that paradigm, that totally changes our world. It changes our world for sure as well. It's easier to do what is right when you're motivated by love. It's easier to treat others fairly and with respect when we love them with a godly love. Now, our only obligation as Christians, our only obligation to other people is summarized in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Here it is. We honor God by loving other people. We honor God by loving other people. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. There it is again, fulfilling the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So we serve others with love. We fulfill the law with love. Number three, we walk in the Spirit with love. Now, this is verses 16 through 18. And he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. There's a battle in your body and in your spirit all the time. Do right, do wrong. Follow the flesh. As a Christian, follow the Spirit of God. But if you are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. One person wrote, released from the law and the power to love are the results of God's Spirit working in us. And absolutely, we should allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. It is a spiritual battle. So, love the flesh. If you love the flesh, you'll feed the flesh. You'll do whatever you want. Hey, this is what I want to do. It's not good for me. It's not right. It's sinful. I'm going to do it anyway. That's feeding the flesh. And the main problem with this world is that this world is full of people. And people are full of sin. And sin is the major... Everywhere there's a person, there's a liability of sin. Everywhere. Because we're sinful people. We choose to sin. We're born as sinners as well. Loving the flesh is a selfish action. It's a selfish attitude. It's all about us. It's not about God. It's not about others. So then contrast that with walking in the Spirit. If we love the Lord, instead of loving just ourselves, if we have something higher and others, we're focused on others and loving them, then we can walk in the Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit then. Now, this is an act of exercise, God's Spirit. We are, if we're loving our flesh, we tend to become gluttonous, doing only what the flesh wants, and the flesh doesn't want healthy habits. But if we love God, His Holy Spirit will guide us. Now, how do we walk in the Spirit? How do you walk in the Spirit? Such a life of a Spirit-prompted love does not go on automatically, however. As one person wrote, it's necessary to remain consciously in step with the Holy Spirit. It is easy to do otherwise. Even though the flesh was, and in a very real sense, is crucified with Christ, the tendencies of pride, even to gross sin, still exist. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. He said that just two chapters earlier from where we're at. So how do I walk in step with the Spirit? Well, it begins with loving God. Now, Pastor Rob, you still have your microphone? He's got it around there somewhere. Okay, can you just jerry-rig it real quick? And we need you to just walk over to that door, if you would, please. Now, I'm asking him to help me with this illustration. So how do we walk in the Spirit? I didn't talk to him ahead of time, so he's totally surprised about this. So he's trying to get that thing fixed up real quick.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
You're jerry-rigged enough to work? Okay, turn them on there.
Yeah.
All right.
Am I there?
All right, good. This is great. So if you would, find a list. It's behind that door. It's right behind that door.
Find a list.
Find a list, yep. And now I want you to do what's on the list. I'm not going to help you do with anything. I'm not going to say anything. I just want you to do what's on the list, if you would. Oh, you're supposed to say what's on the list and then do it. Read the first line and do it. And then
walk into the auditorium.
Yes. All right.
Sit down on the first empty on the first row. I'm thinking seat.
Yeah.
You don't want me sitting a full seat. Yeah. Say hello to the nearest person. Hey, man, what's up? Hello. Wave to the person in the pew in front of you.
Behind you. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, what's up? Okay. Look up to sing to the sing, and when we sing.
What? Yeah, just look up. Sing when we sing. So you're looking up and participating.
Up.
So okay, what do we sing today? In Christ alone. So we just sing together. Okay.
Yeah. You just want me to start singing?
Yeah. In Christ alone. Okay, that's a good song. Good.
In
okay.
Christ alone.
Yeah. Okay, we sung together.
Okay, we sung together.
Yep.
Open your Bible and follow with the message.
Okay.
All right. Bible's back here.
All right, you fulfilled the list.
I just fulfilled the list.
All right, now stay there for a moment.
Okay.
I'm going to come over.
Okay.
Now, he just fulfilled the list, right?
Yes.
He did it. He did a good job. I mean, there's seven things on it. He did it good. Yeah. All right. All right. So come on with me.
All right.
Okay. Now.
You want me to bring the list?
No list. No more lists.
Okay, good.
We're getting rid of lists. So,
all right.
Now we're going to illustrate what walking with the Spirit is.
Okay.
Now, I just want you to tag along with me and do whatever I do.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Hey, have you met Anthony? This is Anthony.
Hey, Anthony, how's it going?
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, this is Jinx. Jinx family, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Oh, man. Look at this. Oh, did you see it? Wave Mike and Helen. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's just sit down for a little bit.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Ah, yeah.
What a day.
Yeah, let's sing. Spirit of the living God,
good job. Yeah,
fall
Spirit, yeah.
Fresh on me.
I don't know the words right
okay,
now.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm following you.
All right, now we're getting our Bible out. We're going to read the Bible or follow along. We're participating.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what's happening. He fulfilled the list a moment ago. But if you're going to walk with the Spirit, you're going to tag along with the Holy Spirit. Instead of you leading the way, you're going to follow along. You're going to be in step. That's what he says walking here is in step. Yeah, you can walk again. In step. We're in step together here. That's walking in the Spirit. I think you did a great job. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. It means to walk in step. Walking in the Spirit of God. It's doing and being and thinking the way the Holy Spirit is directing us. He never contradicts the Bible. If he's in step with the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ will never tell you to do something against the Scripture. So let's walk in the Spirit. That's how you do it. Now, proper love, instead of loving ourselves, proper love, loving God, loving others, that balances the Christian life. So here's three concluding thoughts as we summarize and have our time of response. Friends, thanks so much for being here and a part of the service. And those watching at home, thank you as well. Here's three things to think about. Are we serving others with love? Are you serving others with love? Or do you demand that others serve you? Are you fulfilling the law with love? Are you becoming and changing, being more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Not a list of do's and don'ts, but I truly love the Lord, and that's changing me from the inside out. And then, Are you walking in the Spirit of God? Are you actually walking in step? Just assess your life. Examine your life for just a moment. Or are you doing whatever you want to do instead of what does the Spirit of God lead and direct you to do? This is love in action, and that's how liberty and a license, the legalism, all that's balanced out. And may God help us in this society to just show love to people, to do the right thing towards others in our life. So let's take some time to pray. Let's bow for just a moment. Love balances the Christian life. We tend to go and live imbalanced, one extreme or the other. Liberty and license, and they don't have to be fighting against each other here. We find a balance of where God's Holy Spirit is, and that's where we want to be. So are you serving others with love? Do you serve others, or are you demanding? Ask yourself that question. Second is this, we fulfill the law with love. Are you becoming, changing, and being more the Christian that God wants you to be because of love? Do you look at what you do with that lens of I'm loving God and I'm loving others? Number three, we walk in the Spirit with love. Do you enjoy that? Do you look forward? Do you ask the Lord, help me today to walk in the Spirit of God? Like we were praying, that we were singing, it's like a prayer, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Are you really walking with the Lord, doing what He's doing, participating in what He's desirous of in your life? Take some time to visit with the Lord. For those who are not sure about their salvation, you don't know anything about this liberty and freedom from sin, why not be set free today by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Be born again. Trust Him. If you're not sure about salvation, talk to me after the service or contact me sometime this week. Find a Christian here on this church property to talk with today. Let's take some time to pray and visit with the Lord here. Heavenly Father, we come before You thankful for Your Son. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit. We thank You for the Word of God. These are challenging times that we live in. There's so much imbalance in this world. The balance goes back and forth, it seems. Help us not to forget our liberty and the freedom that You've given to us, not to do what our flesh wants, but we're free to do what's right, to follow You wholeheartedly, and to do what's right towards others. Lord, I pray for each Christian. Together we're praying that You would empower us to understand and to live out the Christian life with love to others. To love You, to love others. Lord, let us fulfill the law like You said, just by loving others and demonstrating that in real ways. And Lord, I pray for every Christian, myself, that we would be a people who walk with Your Spirit. Not just checking off a list, but truly walking with You. And being a Christian, being where You're at, and being involved with what You're doing. And so, Lord, empower us. We thank You. You've already equipped us as Christians. The Spirit's already in us, and we thank You for this. Lord, we do pray that You'll bless now as we go. We thank You for all that You've done in our hearts and lives. We pray that You continue to bless the Wilton Baptist Church as we strive to honor You and to share the gospel with those around. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for coming to our service today. Choir, we have a rehearsal here in just a few moments, so make some friends with others, and I look forward to seeing you next month, for our Missions Month. God bless.